Genesis chapter 29. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it, for from that well they watered the flocks. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. And Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is it well with him?" And they said, "It is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter is coming with the sheep." And he said, "Behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep and go pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered." And they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came about, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. So it came about, when Laban heard the news of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. Then he related to Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter Rachel." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came about in the evening that he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me?" But Laban said, "It is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years." And Jacob did so, and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to be to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban for another 7 years. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and named him Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." So she named him Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Thus reads the word of God. Genesis 29:20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. In our reading, we now come to the story of Jacob and his time of servitude for the sake of earning the right to wed Rachel, whom he loved. This vibrancy of his love for Rachel is manifested in the fact that although it took 7 years of toil and energy and time and struggle and conflict and loss of freedom to come and go as he wished to Jacob, it seemed to be but a few days. The writer of Genesis, in this phraseology, points us back to Genesis 27:42-45. There, after the deception of Isaac by Jacob to receive the blessing, we read the following. Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee to Haran, to my brother Laban, and stay with him a few days, until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides, and he forgets what you did to him. Then I shall send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day?" Note that Rebekah sent Jacob to Laban for a few days until Esau calmed down. Those few days eventually amounted to over 20 years of working for Laban. However, for Jacob, those years were but as a few days. This brings to mind the fact that to us, when love is the focal point of our attention, the essence of time becomes blurred under the reality of what is of utmost importance. This morning, let us see how the Lord overwhelms the tool of time within His plan and His purpose of expressing His nature of love in all His grace and His mercy in the lives of those whom He calls to Himself. Just as the years seem to be but as days to Jacob, to the Lord, years or days mean nothing in the terms of His heart of salvation. This is to be of great comfort to those of us who have been praying for the salvation and the work of God in the lives of our loved ones. There are many who have been praying for husbands, for wives, for children, for parents, for friends and associates, as long as decades upon decades. We tend to get impatient and to make a declaration that nothing will ever change with them. However, that is not how we are to consider the passing of time in the economy of God's grace. The Apostle Peter heartens us to this in 2 Peter 3:8-9. "But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." as human beings, we are instilled with a sense of time that can rule our every motive, our every thought, our every decision. We tend to place all things within the conceptual framework of the fact that we are running out of time on this earth. We are quick to strategize and to conceptualize all things in terms of the time required set against the amount of time we have left to live. We get caught up in the numbers games and the actuary tables of our lives and the lives of others and try to reason with God that He must do something now, today, before we run out of time. But time is the Lord's to do with as He so chooses. We lose sight of this truth, and we lose patience and even our tempers with the seemingly slow pace of God's effective working in operation. We fail to value the truth that what God does will stand for all the eternal ages of the ages. He is not slow. And neither is He careless, nor is He flustered with the daily pace that He has set into place. He will do all that He has determined to do in the time frame that He has created and that He directs. Our place is to see today in the heart of our relationship with God and to respond to Him today as He so directs. The writer to the Hebrews so encourages us as set forth in Hebrews 3:13 through 15. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Just as we cannot get impatient with the timing of the manifest work of God's hand, so also must we not put off that which He commands us this day. Here too, we tend to see time as something that we can manipulate in terms of what we have time to do today and what we can push off until tomorrow. We practice the very course of being as gods unto ourselves, as was at the very heart of the fall of Adam. Because we see God doing things within the spatial confines of time as He so determines, we think that we have the very same capability. We try to manipulate our time to fit our desires and our plans and our purposes. We put off our obedience and our commitment to God until a time of our choosing rather than His choosing. That will never succeed. Just like the Israelites who provoked God in the wilderness, so we provoke God when we harden our hearts with the excuse that we have time to honor God tomorrow rather than today. The Apostle Paul carries this forward into the reality of our daily lives in Jesus Christ. So often, we bemoan the fact that our lives are filled with anguish and with hard times and with suffering. It appears to us that difficulties will never come to an end. Yet, when we have the proper perspective that our lives are hid in Jesus Christ, all that we undergo is for the determined purpose of God creating in us that trust and that faith and that utter reliance upon God to see us through. And He does so in His so great love. When we consider the immeasurable depths of eternity, we cannot but take each day and all that it contains in line with that which is God's plan and His purpose in our lives. Please turn to 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 14, and read along with me. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 14. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Each day is another day to treasure the mighty work of God's hand in our lives. Just as the years seem to Jacob to be as but days, so are the years and decades of our lives so filled with the love of God manifested moment by moment into our hearts. As we give ourselves over to the heart of God, so will each day present another opportunity for His grace and His mercy and His abiding presence to be experienced and to be enjoyed in His fullness and in His splendor and in His love. Yes, the sufferings will be there. But in light of the treasure of the life that is now ours in Jesus Christ, that daily grind and the trial it brings will be seen as the means by which our eyes and our minds and our hearts are opened to the glory of God. As with Jacob, the years will seem but as days in the joy of the love that we find expressed in the living reality of our Lord and our Savior. Please recognize that we do not minimize the death blows that we experience. We rather see them in the light and the face of the one in whom that death is transformed into eternal life. We know that we must die that he can live forth in the purity of God's revealed being of love. As we're so encouraged in 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 19. And please follow along. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 19. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This great expression and declaration of the love of God toward us reveals that basis upon which we now view the very fabric of time in our lives. We are a completely new creation, and as such, we are given the focal reality that time is no longer the controlling force of our walk on this earth. In every sense, we are translated from the rule of natural man's fears and concerns and motivational forces, and we are set into the life of Jesus Christ. In him, we are allowed to see that all things have become new indeed. Even to the fact that what we suffer is only serving to show forth God's glory in greater clarity and love in our walk with him. In this light, we join our hearts with that expressed in Colossians 1:3 through 12. Please turn to it as we rejoice together in what we read. Colossians 1:3 through 12. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. Note that there are several supremely important days addressed in this passage. The first is the day of hearing the gospel. On that day, everything changes in our lives. We are the recipients of the new life of Jesus Christ as we so respond to the call of God to believe upon Him. In that day, all our years of death in sin are forever removed from us, and we are given life in Jesus Christ. Our every sense of time becomes focused into the fact that time is simply the tool used by God to effect His eternal purposes of love in our lives. The second day of this passage is the day that our eyes are removed from looking at our wants to see the needs of others. We are instilled with the concern for others in our communication with God. We begin to pray constantly that they would come to know and to appreciate and to experience His so great love. There develops not just a love for God, but a love for others in their walk with Him. We take them into our hearts for the sake of God to bless and to keep and to manifest His grace and His love and His life into them in greater measure, no matter how much time is required or passes. This brings us full circle to our morning's passage with Jacob and his consideration of all those years as but a few days in the terms of time in service for the sake of his beloved Rachel. That is the heart with which we so view God and each other in Christ. We see our time of service on this earth only as a token expression of our heart of love for the benefit of others to the glory of God. As we serve the Lord, the days and the weeks and the months and the years and the decades fade into mere wisps within eternity. We never lose the heartfelt love of doing that which pleases and honors our Lord God Almighty. As well, in that service unto Him, we take our fellow believers and our loved ones and associates into our hearts for their sake of coming into such a living relationship with God. It matters not the amount of time required in labor or number of years that pass in fleeting abandon. We live to serve to the glory of God. We do not give up hope, and we do not tire or weary or grow weary or discouraged, no matter how many years pass. We count on the Lord to make Himself the very essence of love in the lives and hearts of those whom He puts into our prayers and into our course of walk on this earth, today, tomorrow, and throughout our time of life in this physical realm. So be it. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Amen.